Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Good afternoon, listeners. I am Dr. Induo Rampol Chedi, and it's indeed a pleasure to be with you this evening. Today, the word we have for you is one which I think is a word in season. It's one which I think a lot of us, myself included, need to hear at this point in time. I'm going to start off with reading from Daniel chapter 3. And it's the scripture where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the gods of King Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm just going to start a little way down in the story because I know it's a very familiar story. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with them, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie them up and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took them, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Our second scripture reading is taken from John 11:11, and we focus on when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Our last scripture reading is from Mark 4:35-41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." What do the three scripture readings have in common? The situations all seemed like God ought to have intervened earlier, but now it was too late. The situation seemed to the carnal way of thinking that it was too late. There was no hope left at this point. Time to throw in the towel. Lazarus is dead. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are already in the burning pit. The storm is raging and we're all about to drown. But it is at this point God showed up. Now I know I would be tempted to say, just like Martha, well, not exactly like what she said, in local parlance, "Thanks for coming, enjoy the funeral, have a piece of price-marked sweet bread, but if you had come earlier, Lazarus wouldn't have to be dead now." Or I would say, like, if I were Shadrach, I would probably say, "Thanks for showing up, but you know you could have come a couple hours earlier, like before they threw me into a burning pit." But you see, God's wisdom is not our wisdom. God's timing is not our timing. He could have acted earlier, but he chose not to. He didn't even have to be at Lazarus' house to heal him. We saw him heal the centurion's daughter without even going to her home. He didn't have to allow King Nebuchadnezzar to throw the three Hebrew boys into the burning pit. He could have struck down the king, much like we see him doing later in the book of Daniel. As for the storm, we all know he could have just rolled over in his bed and said in his half-sleeping state, "Storm, don't come near this boat." And then just gone to sleep or gone back to sleep. But he chose to show up after things reached to this point in all three instances, when things seemed hopeless. One of the purposes of trials is for us to get to know God better. In those three instances, we learn of the power of God, the magnificence of God, the omnipotence of God. We meet the God who can raise the dead, who can calm the storm, and can keep his children unsinged in the midst of a fire, so that not even their clothes smelt of fire. What does that revelation of God do for us? And what does that revelation of God do to us? We do not know if Peter would have been so brave as to walk on water if he did not know that even the wind and waves obey Jesus. A revelation of the God we serve, the God who is in us, and the God who is protecting us, serves to embolden us, so the next time we face trials, we can do so with the wind of boldness at our back, with the fire of determination and confidence that we serve a mighty God. It empowers our testimony. Without the test that Lazarus faced, he would have just been known as someone who lived and then died at his appointed time. He may not have even been recorded in the Bible. The testimony of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has lived throughout the years. Children sing about them, adults hold on to their deliverance when we face persecution. It has comforted many and emboldened them to make a stand for Christ, knowing that he is well able to deliver, but if he chooses not to, they will still stand. Without facing that storm, their testimony would have been that they sailed across a lake, full stop. Not much inspiration to inherit throughout the ages and minister to others there. What are you facing today? What situation looks dead? What dream looks dead? I challenge you to seek the master of the storm. It is not too late for him to step in. Nothing is too hard for him. Do not give up on life. Do not give up on hope. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lazarus, the disciples, is also your God. You serve the God who raises the dead and calms the storm, the God of the fiery furnace. And through him you can stand tall in the midst of trials on the testimony of those who have gone before. You can stand knowing that God is well able to deliver you, and it is never too late for him to come through for you. I pray that this short sermon has been a blessing to you. to the many of us who, a lot of people are saying that 2020 is really just the worst year they've ever faced. And in many ways, 2020 is the worst year. But in the midst of all the trials, there are many testimonies coming up. There are many people testifying about how God is protecting them in the midst of everything that's happening, how God is delivering them and how God is prospering them in spite of how bad the economic situation in the world is. So today I encourage you that in spite of everything that's happening, as you look around you, you see the storm, you see the blazing fire, you see that Lazarus is dead, I encourage you to go to God. Go to Him in a stronger way. Go to Him in a deeper way. Maybe this is a blessing that we don't have the distraction of going out, of liming with our friends, of going to the beach. It gives us time. It gives us time to sit with God. It gives us time to focus in with God. And, really and truly, what is prayer? Something God has been ministering to me recently is that prayer is really God coming down to spend time, God spending time with us. That is what prayer is. Why does God want us to pray? Is it that He wants to hear us tell Him what's going on with us? No. He knows what's going on with us. Is it that He wants to know what we need? No, He already knows what we need. Prayer is that God really wants to spend time with us. And a lot of times we don't understand that because we feel that, prayer is a duty that we have to do. If we don't pray, God will be vexed with us. And we feel that prayer is something that, is just cumbersome and burdensome. We equate prayer many times with spending time with our own parents who may have fallen short in our lives. But really, imagine this, the Master of the universe, the God of the universe, wants to spend time with you. In the same way, if any of us got a call from Barack Obama saying, I'd like to spend an hour a day with you. You know we'd run, right? You know we go in. But compare Barack Obama with the Master of the universe and understand what a privilege it is to pray. And the same way when we go to visit friends, none of us like to go with our hands swinging. Trinis, somebody invites you over, you pass by Massey Stores and you pick up a cake or something. A lot of times we go into prayer and God already has a whole bunch of presents for us. He has guidance, He has wisdom, He has healings, He has deliverances, He has successes just waiting there for us. And a lot of times when we don't pray, we cheat ourselves of this. Not that we should go to pray just for the gifts, but that's God's perspective on prayer, that He wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. At the same time, He will put us through trials and tribulations when we need to. But in the end, God wants what's best for us. And that is something that, if we really understood that and we really understood what prayer is, we'd see prayer not as a duty, but as one of the greatest privileges we have as children of God. And so I encourage you today, as we go through hard times, none of us are going to pretend that 2020 is the easiest of years. But as we go through hard times, remember that we have that privilege. We have the privilege to go to God. And the fact is, He wants to spend that time with us. He delights in spending time with us. So as I close, I just encourage you to go before the Father and just delight in His presence as He delights in you. Join us again for our next program. Find us online at BibleIssues.org. Join us also on our Facebook group. To be able to access the group, go to BibleIssues.org, where you will find the link. If you missed any of our broadcasts, you can catch up online at BibleIssues.org. Look for the audio sermons link. God bless you and hope you join us next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induo Rampal Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.